Cool. All right. What are we doing? I haven't done this in a month.
Yeah, I don't know. Hello and welcome to Calvinist Batman and Friends.
I was kidding.
This is The Rugged Marriage.
Hello and welcome. Yeah, okay. You guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello and welcome. This is the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
And this is Stink.
Derek's not with us this week again.
Aww.
It's sad.
We miss you, Derek.
Okay, guys. I did something crazy this week.
What was it?
What did you do?
I'm glad you asked.
You bought a motorbike, didn't you?
And I cannot believe I've lived 26 years and not done this, but I finally did for the first time. This thing that I feel like everyone I know who knows what this is expects me to do it and like know it and do it all the time and be really like jazzed about it, you know? Because it's like kind of a stereotypical thing. I'm a developer.
This is getting weird. You just need to tell us what it is.
No. I'm a developer. I like geek stuff and tech stuff. So like I should love this thing, but I had never done it until this past weekend.
You sat on a Fitball at work.
No, that's not it. I have done that, though.
Done. I thought I was onto it then. No, I don't know. What is it?
Tank, any guesses?
I have no guesses.
Settlers of Catan.
Whoa.
That's an extreme coincidence.
You Reason played it being, for the first time?
My friend is coming over tonight. Like, as soon the person I have to get out the podcast for, and we're going to play Settlers of Catan for my first time.
Yes! Except you say Catan, and I said Catan. Which one is it? I don't know. I just started playing it.
I say Catan, but I've never played it either, so.
If you're in South Australia, it'd be Catan. If you're in parts of America, it'd be Catan.
Tank, you're going to love it. It's so fun.
How was it? It was good?
That's good to know. We played it with one of our... My wife and I played it with one of my really good friends from college, who you know, actually. And, he's, you know, played for a while, and we just assumed that he would beat us by a ton, because, you know, this is our first time. Well, actually, Anna came from behind and won.
Wow, nice.
And we were literally up out of our seats yelling, like, we were so excited, because it was so unexpected.
Uh-huh.
But it was so fun. Yeah.
Nice. Michelle will be happy to hear that. She's afraid that she'll be bad.
Oh, yeah, no, and then she won again the next day when we played. She won our first two games.
Nice.
It was amazing. So... Anyway, now we're probably going to have to buy it for ourselves and invite our friends over. So whenever you guys are in Memphis, come on over.
Cool.
Sounds good. I'll do that next time I'm in Memphis. Yeah, well, that sounds like more fun than what I was doing this week. Although I had a fun week, I guess. My wife and I have been spending our evenings setting up furniture for our baby nursery room. And that's involved a lot of stuff like cleaning out our whole spare room, which had a lot of junk in it. And we had a garage sale or a yard sale last weekend. And then whatever we didn't sell has landed in our front living room. So we're kind of living in like, it looks like a hoarder's house when you first walk in the door, which is a problem, but we're about to get rid of that stuff today. But anyway, we were setting up lots of furniture that just, it wasn't all IKEA stuff, but it all came as flat pack. The first night we set up a change table and chest of drawers, and that went okay. And it's really sturdy and really heavy. So it was it was a decent effort, but it looks good. The second night we set up the cot, which my wife is really excited about because it's like a sleigh cot. So it kind of looks like a sleigh. It's got curved edges and stuff. And she really loves the look of it. So she was really excited about that. Anyway, we open the package and there's three packages, three parts, like three cardboard boxes, big ones, heavy ones. And open the first one.
Some as big as your head?
Way bigger than my head, thankfully. If the cot was the size of my head, the baby's got nowhere to sleep. And anyway, we opened the first one. There's a bunch of bits of wood, no bolts, no instruction manual. And I'm thinking part one of three probably would have the instructions in it, but maybe not. So open the second one, no bolts, still no instruction manual. Open the third one, you guessed it, no bolts, no instruction manual. By this point, I'm thinking, all right, I wish people who make these things would do their job properly and put the instructions in. And I'm also thinking, how hard can it be, right? There's like pieces of wood and stuff. But we found some bolts in the third one, so that was helpful. So we started putting it together and we realized that we just didn't have certain bolts that needed to fit in certain holes and stuff like this. So we basically got the structure together. The thing was standing up. Nothing fell over. And then the next morning, we had to go to our local hardware store and pay extra money on top of what we bought the furniture for to buy extra bits that we thought would finish the job off, which it largely did. We have one more thing to do, but it was just frustrating. It was one of those times where I know we've talked about like robot uprisings and stuff, but I really could have done with a robot to just do it for me, because we started it, you know, after dinner, and by the time we finished, I was just so frustrated by lack of instructions and lack of the right equipment that I was sort of, I don't know, it wouldn't have been fun for my wife to be working with me at that point, I think, which is probably my fault more than the equipment. But anyway, end of the story, we got it all together, it looks great, but yeah, definitely could have done with a robot to just kind of zzz, and it's all finished, thank you.
With that sound effect too. I've seen many of the pictures on Instagram, and it does look great, by the way.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's been a good project. Holiday project. It's been good.
It's time for Tech You Should Know. The 7 things you need to know from the last, like, 3 weeks or something. So I probably missed some stuff. But here we go anyway. Some important funny things. Number one, The Force Awakens is amazingly good. We've all seen it. And it made a ton of money. It overtook Avatar in the U.S. as the highest grossing domestic box office sales film.
Nice. I'm still keen to see what happens with Avatar 2.
Yeah, that is coming, isn't it?
I think it is. It may be 2017 or something. I kind of want to see whether that overtakes Star Wars or not. But
I wonder if it'll be just as politically charged.
Everyone rags on Avatar. I really enjoyed it. Like, I know there's some really bad Eastern religion stuff, and there's a big, like, environmental political thing. But it's just as a movie, I thought it was cool.
Number two this week, Microsoft is dropping support for Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10 all on Tuesday.
Yes!
Yay!
So excited.
So, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, 2 days from now.
It has long been one of my biggest question marks over this whole universe that we live in. Why does Microsoft keep making browsers that break the internet and getting away with it? It's just amazing.
Yeah, so, IE has always been the least standards compliant web browser.
And the most people have used it until about 3 or 4 years ago, when people started seeing their of their ways and switching to Firefox and Chrome.
Well, it's pre-installed. That's why most people use it. So yeah, like your grandma who just got a PC for Christmas, you know, she's going to use IE. Well, now she's going to use Edge, but she's going to use the preloaded browser because she doesn't know any better.
Yeah, but people come preloaded with nappies. It doesn't mean we stay in them our whole lives. We realize there's a better option. So
preloaded with what?
Nappies. We're wearing diapers when we're babies. It was a bad analogy. Don't worry.
Okay, I just didn't know what a nappy was.
A nappy is Australian for diaper. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It's not related to tech at all.
Preloaded with nappies. I can see it now. That's probably the episode title. Next up, Netflix is now live in 130 countries, and this includes India and Russia, which is pretty interesting.
But is it as good as American Netflix? Because from what I understand, Australian Netflix doesn't have the same amount of content on it.
I don't know. I know that some of the licensing is different across countries, and so they do have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Number four, LastPass has made... They've put out an update, version 4.0, which includes a UI overhaul on every app except for the Mac app, as far as I know.
Nice.
And your browser extensions, probably, if you're using LastPass, might still look ugly. You have to go update them manually. I did it today, and it does work, and they do look nicer. But the old browser extension still takes you to the old vault. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's probably why. Go to lastpass.com, go to their vault that way, and you'll see this nice, flashy new website, web app.
Actually, I didn't update it, my app, and it just did it for me today.
Oh, what browser?
Chrome.
Oh, no, I tried Chrome. That's weird.
Yeah, just today, because I haven't bothered with updating it. I went and logged on through
a tab. Oh, you mean your browser extension updated?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, okay. That's not what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. No, I had to update them myself. And the old app was still taking me to the old the old website, which was ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one looks much better, but I wasn't too bothered by the last website.
You don't like pretty things?
I don't mind mediocre things.
Mediocre? LastPass might have been the ugliest thing that I
really
used.
Really, Ben? Have you heard about our tech you should use for this week?
I don't want to go there.
I mean,
fast forward 5 minutes and
that's
you'll hear about...
That's called foreshadowing. See what I did there? Anyway.
The penultimate ugliest thing on the internet.
Well, we might get into this later, but like I don't use LastPass so I can admire their webpage, you know. I use it so that I can store my passwords. So it was functional, and I'm satisfied with functional.
It was functional. We recommended LastPass as tech you should use for password managing in an earlier episode. I have no idea which one. We've done so many of these. I don't even know what we
first.
Did last week. You think the first one?
I think the first one.
Well, it's great, and everyone should use it. Also this week, Fitbit announced their new Fitbit Blaze at CES, Consumer Electronics Show, this year, and it looks remarkably like an Apple Watch. It's like really funny. Click the link in the show notes. You'll see exactly what I mean. Next up, Twitter is moving past the 140-character limit in tweets. They're going to allow maybe up to as much as 10,000 characters coming soon.
That's too much. I think sometimes 140 is not enough. And then I sort of go down that line of reasoning in my own head. And then I'm like, hang on, I can see what Twitter would become if they relax that too far. And it would just become another Facebook in terms of big, long tirades by people. And so I think it's much more amusing to read arguing conversations between 140 character tweets than it would be to read huge long paragraphs from trolls on the internet, which is what happens a lot of the time on Facebook. So,
what I read somewhere was they would keep a 140 character preview of the longer tweet and you could expand to see the rest or something like that.
Yeah, it still encourages people, though. Yeah, it still encourages people not to be concise, I think.
I like the push towards brevity, especially in our world.
Yeah.
And finally, this week, I don't even know why this is happening, but it's happened. Microsoft made a selfie app for the iPhone. Why? Why did they do this? I don't know. It's the same reason they charged you $3,000 for Azure or something like that. Just horrible.
It just makes me laugh. There's no other response to that. Like,
have you seen it too? The icon is ridiculous.
The icon is the least of my worries at this point. Why would they even try and enter the market of taking photos on a phone that's not their own platform?
I have no idea. Because they don't have a good phone platform, that's why.
Has it got ads all through it, though? Like, why is it going to help them out? I don't understand. Does it publish to a Microsoft version of Facebook or something? Like, I don't know. I just don't see the benefit.
I don't think there is a Microsoft version of Facebook. Well, they did try to do social a while back, but it did not work.
Wasn't that what Live was all about? Like, Windows Live or whatever? MSN? Something. Is that separate?
I don't know. Anyway. I haven't used Microsoft products in years. They let me down too many times.
Cool.
And on that somber note, that brings us to the end of Tech You Should Know this week.
So that brings us to Tech You Should Use. This week, we're going to be talking about Goodreads. I started reusing Goodreads about a month ago, and I'm mildly in love with it, I guess. I don't know.
In love with it?
Yeah. It's my new technology love, I guess. I don't know. I like it a lot. So what Goodreads is, it's basically a social network for books. You get on there, you connect with Facebook, and all your friends who are on Goodreads and Facebook will be connected to you. And you can essentially see what everybody is reading, or has read, or wants to read. So there's three main categories, the ones I just mentioned, and you just add your books into one of those three categories. And then you can keep track as you read your books. There you can add little status like I'm on page 50 of 400 and so on. And then there's a little news feed that I never pay attention to where you can see what people have done with their goals or if they finish books or whatnot. So my two favorite parts about it. One, I want something to, I'd wanted some, like a wish list, basically, that I could keep track with, as well as some way to keep track of everything I've read for the year or past years. And so this obviously does great at that, what I just said with the three categories. And another thing that I've surprised that I like about it is that whenever you search a book to add to your wish list, if it'll show reviews and stars, but if any of your friends have reviewed or starred it, you can see their rating. So it's like a good way to see, oh, I've heard about this book, and you go to it, and you say, oh, this friend really liked it, or this friend said it was terrible, and so on. So I've been updating it like once a week and have my wish list on there now, and I've been really enjoying it. So what do you guys think of Goodreads?
Well, I think we all know what I think.
You go first, Ben, and then I'll wrap it up.
Well, okay, I just think, okay, and I, while you were talking about it, just out of, because I value your recommendation very highly, and I respect your opinion, I went and checked it out. I logged into my account, which I had set up a long time ago, and it doesn't look as ugly as I remember, which is good.
Oh, that's nice.
But it still leaves quite a bit to be desired. In the design department. And I agree with you when you were talking about LastPass earlier. I agree. Functionality is king. If it doesn't function the way it's supposed to, like if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then why would I use it? But I think, even though that's true, I think design is like understood to be table stakes. Like you've got to, it's got to look good, or I don't know. I just don't think functionality, although it's king, is not everything. And I feel like I was saying earlier, before we started recording, it's not like they don't have the money to do it. They're not a small startup, right? I mean, a lot of people use Goodreads. So just hire a designer one time, you know, a couple G's, and, you know, knock it out. One fell swoop. And then you don't have to update it again for like a decade, probably.
If any Goodreads designer is listening to this podcast, we apologize.
Yeah, that's right. And I also love that Ben thinks your work is only worth 2 G's.
No, I said a couple of G's. I didn't say how many G's.
Yeah, a couple is two.
Anyway. 2 G's.
If the Goodreads designers are listening, we would love to have you on the show to talk about it. And I apologize. I did not mean to offend you.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, Ben, with the design. I just... pulled it up again as well, as Tank was talking, because I'd forgotten about the fact that it highlights your friends' recommendations. So I'm currently reading through Desiring God. I started ages ago and just never got around to finishing it, so I'm trying to finish it off. I'm really enjoying it. But I clicked on it and realized that Tank's recommendation comes at the top of the list, which was pretty cool, because he was talking about that while I was reading his recommendation, which was weird. Nice. Irony. The design stuff, I think it's no worse than Amazon. In my opinion, like the layout is kind of similar, and so there's a lot going on, and it could be maybe simplified and stuff. But I think in terms of functionality, it does what I need it to do. It lets me keep track of what I'm currently reading, which is mainly what I use it for, and it lets me write reviews on the books that I really want to recommend to other people. So yeah, I think it does those two things, and it does them pretty well. And I tend not to actually take too much notice of the ratings and stuff, because I've seen some really great books with some really low ratings just because people on the internet say things badly at times. But yeah, I think as a service, it does what I need it to do in terms of online library type situation. So yeah.
Yeah. I like that it shows your friends rating first, because those are more the ones that matter. Like
true,
the friends
yeah.
that you trust, if they like it, then you know that it's probably good no matter what the rest of the internet says. And I've been trying. I just added all the books I could think of I'd read since college, basically, when I started reading again. And I just starred those. But my plan is every time I finish a book to actually write out a small review. So if any of my friends want to check it out, then they actually know what I think about it, more so than a vague star reference. But yeah, I also like, one thing I like about it is that I can see when I put a book into my to read column, which, I mean, I might be able to remember when I started a book some other way, but this is nice. Like, I've been reading this book for 8 months now. Maybe I should actually stop being lazy on it, and so on.
I have been looking for something to do what you're talking about for a while. Maybe I'll give Goodreads another go. I feel that I spoke harshly, and I apologize if I offended anyone who is involved with Goodreads or uses it and loves it or anything like that. I will give it another try. Please accept my humble apologies.
I don't think you've been that harsh, Ben. I think it's fine. But good work on the apology anyway. Tank, I got a question for you. Have you ever actually chosen to read a book, to start a new book based on a friend's recommendation on Goodreads?
Not on Goodreads. I only joined about a month ago.
Okay.
So, not so much.
Cool. No, anyway, I think it's good. People should check it out. And maybe if you like it or if you don't like it, let us know in the Slack, in the episode discussion channel. Let us know what you think and whether you use it or not. And if you do use it, look us up. And maybe just don't expect heaps of activity from Ben until he's had another chance to start using it and see if he likes it.
And if you're not in the Slack, you can find it at slack.techreformation.com. Sign up. It's free. It's just communication for the 21st century. It's like a chat room online. You can get to it from any web browser or mobile app. And it's where we hang out with all of our listeners. So we'll see you there.
That's a wrap on Tech You Should Use.
All right, let's move into Theology from the Headlines this week. This week, we're going to do a recap of 2015. So maybe like technology that sort of stood out, maybe technology that kind of flopped or didn't meet expectations. And then we'll do just a little brief preview of 2016, kind of what we think is coming, what we think will be important as we sort of move into the next year. Where are the areas that, you know, the big and small companies can shine?
So what was your favorite tech of 2015?
All right, I'll tell you one thing that I was excited about, and I don't have it yet. But the new iPhones, I think, are pretty neat. And I know, you know, we've been seeing a new iPhone every year for the last, what, 6 or 7 years? Or 8 years, maybe. iPhones aren't really a new thing, but I feel like this newest iteration with the 6S and 6S Plus had something that could be really cool. As people figure out what it can be used for, really. And that is 3D touch. So this idea that now a touchscreen can sense pressure and like force into the device. And so you can kind of like play around with depth, you know, kind of like the opposite of a 3D movie, which never really took off. But I think it could be really cool as like a new way to interact with electronic devices. I'm not saying that it's quite arrived yet, but it definitely sort of came out of the woodwork this year, which I think was cool.
Yeah, I really liked as far as like 3D, you mentioned 3D touch, made me think of a different angle on that, was the HoloLens. Got it. That was this year, right?
Yeah.
Last year.
It was HoloLens was this year, I think. They haven't they're not selling it, but they demoed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that one's not actually released. So maybe that should have gone in the next year category. But it just, I guess Oculus Rift was around. What we saw the future of VR coming out, VR and AR and MR, all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited about that. I think it'll be awesome whenever we get that reasonable and viable for us common folk.
I think VR is one that maybe on the trend area, not necessarily a specific technology, but it definitely emerged this year as kind of taking maybe the wings of the stage, and it may jump onto the center stage this year or next year, who knows. But it could be really cool. I think that'll be another one that we have to kind of play around with, and developers will have to play around with to figure out what all can we do with it. But like even when the App Store came out in 2008, 2009, something like that, you know, nobody really had any ideas that it would be like it is today. So who knows, you know, in 5 years, VR could be ubiquitous for everybody, you know, just a common thing that's in your living room.
Could be walking around with headsets on our face all everywhere.
That's definitely what they thought about Google Glass back when it was announced.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
Those videos for Google Glass made it look so much cooler than what it turned out to be, right? Like, the promo videos were so well made, and then, I don't know, it just fell in
a
hole.
A couple of years back.
I'm pretty excited.
Too.
It is, yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about, and I know we've talked about this a couple of times already, but the whole self-driving car thing, I know that's kind of spanning a few years, but the amount of driving that I do, oh man, it would be so nice to just be able to, I don't know, sleep instead of drive. I don't even know if that's possible in a self-driving car or if you have to be alert in case the car does something wrong. I don't know. But I think that's pretty cool technology, and I enjoyed the fact that it was being tested in my area. In terms of the Southern Hemisphere, it was tested in my city. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that one pans out and just how long it takes for it to become a proper reality, like a, you know, like a day-to-day usable tech kind of thing. But I don't know. It's one of those things that I think I just worry about it a little bit. Like, you know, if they can perfect it, then the possibilities are huge. In terms of changing the way that we live and work and how productive we can be and all those kinds of things. If they kind of just get it to a level where it kind of is like electric cars, do you know what I mean? Like they were sort of the new green energy thing, and then like how many people actually own electric cars hasn't taken off like they thought it would. So if the same kind of thing happens, then I don't know, that would be really frustrating, I think. Because it's such a cool potential. The potential behind it is so is really impressive and exciting. It's just whether or not they can make it viable, I guess, in the long run. But yeah, that's something I thought was cool that kind of took a big step forward last year.
So let me do this. I found this list this week of Mashable's best tech of 2015, and I just want to pick a couple of these off this list, and we'll just do like a vote, like. Yes, we thought it was like good, cool, like will be important for the future, or no, we thought it kind of flopped or didn't meet expectations, right? And then maybe we'll talk about some of them. Is that cool?
Yep.
Okay. First one, number 15 on their list of 20, DJI Phantom 3 Standard, which is basically the drone of drones for consumers.
It's cool.
I think it's awesome. I think drones are going to be huge this year.
So that specific one?
Yeah.
Or I don't know much about that drone.
Okay, let's move on. Number 14, sorry. Apple Watch.
No.
I give it a boo.
Yawn.
Yeah.
As my wife says, you probably already use your phone enough. You wouldn't want to attach to your wrist as well. So,
well,
which I think is true. I think the temptation to look at it would be even more if it was right in front of me.
Yeah. I'll say, like, and this is something I've heard from a lot of like tech journalists, I just feel like the story hasn't been told about why we need this thing, what we'd use this for, how would it make our lives better. You know, it's no one knows. Like Apple has basically grabbed a bunch of darts and they're throwing them in the general direction of the dartboard and hoping something sticks. It's like they're Samsung or something, you know?
Well, I think they're just trying to take, they're trying to just, it's a bit like the dartboard thing, although I don't know, maybe it's a little bit more like, they're just going, well, we've done a phone. What else can we do? Let's go to wearable tech. I think it's more like a market expansion thing. So that, you know, they're seeing that Fitbit is a popular thing. So let's expand into the wearable technology thing. But see, Fitbit caters to a market that is quite specific in terms of, yes, it's got a clock in it, so it's a watch. But it's really to track how many steps you've done that day and whatever, how many calories you've burned or whatever Fitbits do. It's called a Fitbit. It's catering to the fitness industry. Mm-hmm. Whereas Apple Watch really is your phone on a watch. And so I think where you're right is like, yeah, the darts are different, but they're not that different. You know what I mean? Like it's the same thing on a different platform. Instead of holding it in your hand, you wear it on your wrist.
I think they were looking for something that would be paradigm shifting, you know, category making like the iPhone was, but there has not been something like that since 2007. I think the next thing like that will be what you were talking about earlier, Craig, which is self-driving cars. That will be the next like world-changing technology that we have on the scale that we saw there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You can't expect a paradigm-shifting thing from what is essentially the same platform as the phone on a smaller surface that you wear on your wrist. It's just a different version of the iPhone, a smaller version of it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do to try and... whether they try and rebadge or at least represent the watch in a better way in terms of marketing, or whether they just kind of leave it and cut their losses and invent something else amazing. Like the first self-driving Apple car, but, you know, see what happens.
We'll get
there.
Into that in 2016. number 9 of 20 on this list is Windows 10.
Yeah, I like Windows 10.
I do too.
I haven't used it really good for much, me. To be honest.
What do you like about it, Tank?
I mean, honestly, it's nothing too much better from... I've been using Windows 8 for quite a while now. Windows 8.1, where they made it more like Windows 7. And honestly, I haven't seen too much different, but it just works, I guess, is what I like about it. Where we learned from Windows 8 that just didn't work. And so Windows 10 seems to be faster, a little bit cleaner and smoother, and it just works. And so that's nice from an upgrade. I don't need, like we were saying, I don't need a paradigm-shifting operating system to come out with every iteration. I just need something that's faster and cleaner. And I think they did that well with Windows 10.
Sometimes iterative updates are good, you know? I feel like, and we were kind of talking about this earlier, Microsoft lost their way. Everybody knows it. They kind of fell off the map and just didn't know what their strategy was or what they wanted to be. But with this new CTO, or CEO, gosh, I can't talk. With this new CEO, Satya Nadella has kind of given them a vision again for who Microsoft can be. And we're seeing them come out with like cool mobile apps across platforms that aren't their own, besides the selfie thing, which is weird. But you know, like they bought Sunrise, they bought Wunderlist, they bought Acompli, which is now the Outlook app for iPhone. You know, and they're just doing some really cool things in that space. Windows 10 for me is like them getting back on the map, and we'll see where they go with it. You know, HoloLens is cool, like you talked about, but we'll see where it goes. We thought Google Glass was going to be awesome too. So, number 8 on the list, Apple TV, the new one. We talked about this quite a bit in episode 5 when it was announced, and I've actually seen it in the wild now. It's pretty cool.
Is it heaps cooler than the other Apple TV?
It is. Another iterative update. I mean, there are some big changes, like they added Siri. There's a whole new UI. All the stuff we talked about in episode 5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool. I think it's executed well. I think it could be... There's an app store, which I think could be really big. Maybe we'll see that kind of flush out this year. We still don't have one yet, but I want one. I mean, we have the third generation, so it's kind of like, should I spend the $150? I don't know. See what apps they come out with. That'll make the decision. Okay, number 6 is the Swagway X1, which you might not know by brand name. It's a hoverboard. What do you guys think of hoverboards?
Is it a hoverboard or a Segway? It looks so much more like a Segway.
That's what they're called. Calling them hoverboards, I don't know why, because they don't hover.
It's got wheels.
I call them e-rovers. Yeah.
It's got wheels. It can't be a hoverboard. These people need to watch Back to the Future again.
Apparently they are... catching on fire in places.
I love that they say hoverboards like the Swagway X1, which in brackets isn't a hoverboard. That's not in the article. That's I added that. But put personal mobility vehicles on the map. You mean like a car? Like a personal mobility vehicle has been on the map for a long time. But, you know, maybe not one that costs $400, I suppose.
I have ridden one of these things, and I will say they're awesome.
They are awesome.
Did it catch on fire while you were riding it?
No, it did not catch on fire while I was riding it. It was super fun.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted one, but I will not pay $400 for it.
I think the cheap ones are the ones that catch on fire, too. Like, if you get a legit one, then it won't catch on fire. I think it's just poorly designed. The lithium battery or whatever
those things are.
Heat up and explode on you. Which apparently, I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's off topic, but if you hit a phone with a hammer, the same thing will happen.
Have you done that?
I've seen YouTube videos of it.
I'm going to look that up.
It's the same battery technology, and whenever it gets under stress, it'll just catch on fire. So if you've heard of people's pocket catching on fire, it's the same reason your Segway is catching on fire.
Yep. A relative at Christmas this year was actually telling me, very close relative, she'll know who she is, I think, was telling me that the reason hoverboards are catching on fire is because of their lithium ion battery. And I was like, here's the thing. Every piece of consumer electronics you own probably has a lithium ion battery in it. Like, that is the battery technology. It's not the battery technology. It's that these devices are overcharging those particular batteries.
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue.
Or under stress.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Meaning like someone's jumping on them or something.
I also, when I played with it at my uncle's house, I put a rubber tire mark in the carpet. I got clipped on a entrance to another room, and I was trying to get off of it, and I leaned forward, and it sped the wheels up really fast. So I just put rubber tire marks in his carpet.
You did a burnout on your uncle's carpet.
Yeah, it was awful. So don't do that.
That's pretty funny.
Number 5 on this list is iPhone 6S, 6S Plus. We kind of already talked about that. Number 3, Apple iPad Pro.
Did you just skip from 5 to 3?
Yeah, I'm not doing all of them.
Oh, okay. But you skipped 13, which I was really excited about.
What's 13?
I posted it in the Skype chat. It's the Sphero BB-8 toy.
Why is that cool?
Because it's a BB-8 toy.
Oh, gosh. Fandom.
Keep going.
All right, number 3 is iPad Pro this year came out. Bigger iPad with a stylus and a smart keyboard. Apple keeps copying Microsoft, and everyone gets really excited about it when Apple does it.
The stylus thing needs to go away. It's just...
But it's Apple Pencil.
No, I know. It's not a pencil. It's a stylus. And, I mean, if you read these articles, at least one of the ones that I think it might have been the first one that we were reading that Ben sent during the week, they talked about the fact that 3D Touch really hasn't been as groundbreaking as what it was made out to be in the original launch spiel, I suppose. But
it could be. It could be. It's the potential.
Okay, other than drawing, what will you use it for?
3D Touch?
Yeah.
Oh, I think the peek and pop thing is really cool. And I think the, if you push into the screen, you can preview what you're looking at, like a message, an email message or something.
But they
and then you push a little harder and it opens the message.
Can they not do that with how long you hold it down for as well? Like if you hold it down for 3 seconds instead of half a second, then it previews it?
I think they could, but I don't think it's quite as intuitive. And the other thing is when you 3D touch on an app on the home screen, it gives a little flyout menu of quick options, quick actions, which I think is cool. I mean, obviously those are two examples that are in play right now, and they're small. But the point is, the new method of interacting with a touchscreen could be really cool. It's got a lot of potential, because I don't think Apple ever thinks that they've invented the thing that's gonna, you know, win the day. But they invent a platform that can, that people can, smart people can come play with and build things on, and that's like the cool stuff. Like, that's why they would build an app store.
And you can weigh things.
And you can weigh things.
As long as they're not pointy objects.
All right, number 2 from this list, Microsoft Surface Book.
I think those are pretty cool.
I do too.
I like it. I like the idea.
Craig, yay or nay?
It's Microsoft. I haven't looked into it, to be honest. I literally just don't take much notice of what Microsoft does in terms of that kind of new... It's like a laptop, right? It's like a glorified
laptop. It's a laptop-tablet hybrid. You can undock it from the
keyboard.
Detach
the screen, yeah.
Yeah, and then it becomes a tablet.
Yeah. I feel like those things have been around for quite a while, have they not?
No, they have. I think what's interesting about this one is Microsoft built software.
Ah, okay.
I mean, they did with the Surface, right? But this seems to be another nail in the coffin of all their hardware manufacturers. Did I say software or hardware?
You said software.
I meant hardware.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that it had really been done before. I mean, there's been tablets with keyboards, but there hasn't been really laptops that can be tablets, from my understanding, at least.
I suppose they've done the, like, flip the keyboard behind it, and then it becomes a tablet.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But not fully detachable, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, the last one on this list is Amazon Echo, which it blows my mind that this is number 1 for Mashable.
Yeah. I don't know what's so special about it.
I don't
know.
So
it's a speaker with Siri built into it, except not Siri.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's exciting.
That's literally what it is.
Well, this article is saying it integrates with your smart devices. So I guess you could say, hey, turn the thermostat up 5 degrees. So that would be pretty cool if you have a smart home.
Maybe they were just looking for something from Amazon so they could put the word Amazon in the article, because they've got Microsoft, Apple, Volvo. They've got a lot of other big names. So maybe the Samsung, maybe they just wanted to have something from all the top companies, and that was the... But there's nothing from Google, is there?
No, they've got a lot of the Google smartphones and stuff. Yeah. I didn't talk about those because Android smartphone hardware is uber saturated.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy to have that as number one. I'd even go the pencil thing over that.
What?
the iPad with the pencil being cooler than the Amazon Echo.
Echo could be cool.
No, I'm not sold. No. I'd even go a Microsoft device over that.
I'm just kind of an optimist, I guess.
Except when it comes to Goodreads.
No, I'm going to give it a chance. I repented. I'm going to give it a chance.
True.
Okay, so that's kind of what's been going on in, you know, the world of technology that we talk about a lot on this show. But it might be good to talk about ourselves a little bit, maybe too, just like our personal lives. What do we feel like our highlights were of 2015?
Yeah, I'll go first. So probably my big highlights from 2015, I started a new job. It was the biggest, and kind of a lot of everything flowed through that. I started working at a place called Interworks, which was very much geared toward technology-related people. So I play like 45 minutes of ping pong a day. We have snack closets and all that stuff. It's awesome. But what came out of that was, I guess, a fresh start with people. And when I started my previous job, it was just out of college. And so I had 3 years after that. And then moved on to a new job, fresh start, nobody knows who I am, and you kind of get to remake those impressions. As we talked about one of our episodes, it's like whenever you start off on a certain foot, it's easier to continue in that foot rather than change impressions. And so like I really tried to start off strong in the sense of letting people know that I was a believer, having those conversations really quick. And, you know, there's just been some awesome things that have come out of my just being in the culture that I am in right now and the people that I get to talk to. And like, it's a lot of fun. We started a work Bible study. We play ping pong and just talk about Christ. And it's really exciting. And it has made my relationship with Christ stronger because I feel like, I guess, I'm walking in more faith with him and I'm around brothers who are trying to build each other up the whole time. So I think that was my highlight of 2015, was starting that job and everything that has come through it.
Craig?
So the last couple years really have been a lot about learning for me, both in terms of church life, relationship with God, theology study, and also, I guess, day-to-day work. Life. So 2014, I was studying full-time study and changing fields basically. And then this, so 2015, I was starting work in that field. And so there's a lot of learning that went with that, just, you know, first year in a different area to where I'd worked before. So that was kind of like similar to Tank, I suppose, took over my year, met a lot of new people, made, you know, built new relationships. And some of those are really like, I learned heaps, but I also, was really grateful to connect with the people that I did, and got a lot out of that. So that was kind of, the big sort of, I guess, thing that took up a lot of my, time and energy. Also my wife and I, sort of oversee the young adults ministry at our church, sort of the 18 to 30s bracket. And we had to take a different tack last year. We'd been running a Bible study and it just turned out that the night we were running it on was also a youth leaders meeting, and most of our people who attend young adults are somehow involved with the youth group. And so we switched to like a monthly event rather than a weekly Bible study. So just kind of coordinating some of that and seeing, people come together in Christian community in a different way to how we'd been doing it before, but still quite effective and really, yeah, good to be a part of. So, yeah, that there was kind of those two things that were going on in terms of life in general. And then obviously the big news for us in the second half of the year was the baby announcement.
Oh yeah.
So that's probably the biggest, most exciting thing that happened last year in terms of what's coming in the future.
All right. I will say that for me, 2015 was the year of the most change in my entire life all at once. Okay. So I got to say for right away, like the coolest thing that happened last year, hands down, not even close. I got married. Woo-hoo. To the most wonderful, godly, beautiful woman ever. And she's an amazing wife. Her name is Anna. She's half Brazilian. She's amazing. She loves the Lord. She takes care of my home. Literally, my house would fall apart if it wasn't for her. I would never send anyone like wedding presents and stuff, which is something you're supposed to do, I guess. but no, she takes care of like, you know, just being a nice human being. it's amazing. Anyway, so that happened. And then, you know, right after that, we moved to Memphis from Oklahoma, moved to Tennessee, two states away. And I'd lived in Oklahoma my whole life. Then after that, a couple months in, last October, I quit my job and I got a new one. And yeah, I mean, it's just like literally been the most change ever all at once. But the cool thing I'll say, obviously, other than getting married, is just starting Downline has been really formative for me and just foundational for like my walk with the Lord. And just having more of a relationship with Jesus than just knowing a lot of stuff about him. And one thing really stands out that I feel like the Lord's taught me and that I've actually seen fruit in my life, and it's this, just having a definition for discipleship that includes not just sharing truth with people, because I was good at that, but sharing life with people as well. Because that seems to be what obviously Jesus did with the 12, seems to be what the apostles talked about a lot. Obviously, truth is a given. Like, I'm not saying we don't speak the truth in love or preach the gospel. We absolutely do. And I understood that. But I didn't understand, I don't feel like, as practically as Downline is helping me understand, that we also have to share life with people and just lay down our lives and, you know, stop caring so much about our own comfort or control or significance and start caring about other people. And just in the hopes, obviously, that they would come to know the Lord. Like, that's obviously the goal, and learn to follow him better as a result. And just one thing, like I said, I saw fruit. My father-in-law, when we were home for the holidays, actually pulled me aside while we were there and said, I feel like I've seen you engage with the family and extended family in a way I've never seen before in previous years. And obviously my first reaction, because I'm the worst sinner I know, is like offense. Like, what? You mean I wasn't engaging previously? What are you talking about? But then I realized it for what it was, which is like one of the greatest compliments, I feel like he could give me. So it's just amazing to see what the Lord's doing, that he's so good and that he's so intimately involved in, the everyday things of our life.
Cool. I like that we all got new jobs.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
Well, I'm starting a new job this year, so that'll be new. Yeah. another change again, but yeah, it's exciting. Lots going on. It's cool.
So let's transition and just briefly talk about 2016. What's coming, maybe in tech, and what's coming for us? Anything that we're really excited about? I didn't get my drone for Christmas, so can't say anything about that.
I didn't get myself lacing Nikes either. So.
Oh, man. That's all right. Tank, did you get it? What did you ask for?
I said Raspberry Pi, which I did not get either.
That was the most reasonable thing, I feel like.
I'll probably just buy myself one. They're pretty cheap.
Yeah. So what's coming in the tech world, guys?
Google.
You know, I think we hit on a lot of it.
Like, yeah, we did talk about
cars and VR, drones.
I think a lot of that stuff's already here. That's what my big question mark is, what's coming, as in what's not here yet. At like what's not on our radar that in 2016 will be announced? Because stuff that's getting launched in 2016, we've probably already heard about and maybe even talked about, like some of the AR and VR stuff, for example, it'll sort of just keep rolling and they'll keep doing work on it. But for me, it's like, what is the thing that's going to come up this year? What's the area that there's going to be an actual breakthrough in? So we talk about the iPhone as a breakthrough, self-driving cars as a breakthrough. I'm interested to see what actually comes up as like the, we didn't really expect that. We didn't really see that coming as a clear winner for 2016. But that, you know, I think there'll have to be something that we look back at the end of the year and go, you know, if we'd known about that at the start of the year, we would have talked a lot more about it, kind of thing.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's hard to guess.
But I'll say this. I think three areas that, or maybe two areas that we need and one area that I'd like. First two, batteries.
Yeah.
We just need last or longing batteries. Like
longer lasting.
That. Yeah, longer lasting. What did I say?
Last or longing.
Last or longing?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I can't record anything tonight. Yeah. Longer lasting batteries would be amazing. And then I would say 5G, whatever that looks like, where wireless data actually surpasses the speeds of personal Wi-Fi. That those two things I think will be revolutionary if they hit this year. They might not. It might be a couple of years type of thing. And then I just want to say again, I think self-driving cars will be really cool too.
My inkling, like what I'm thinking might happen, and this is from doing a tiny bit of research, is that maybe medical tech will be a big area in 2016 that will expand. There was one article that I found that was talking about a couple of things. The Internet of DNA, a global network of millions of genomes, could be medicine's next great advance. The availability for that, they said, is 1 to 2 years away. And the other one was to do with... So there's a couple other ones that are sort of available now but seem fairly recent. Like there's something called brain organoids, which is a method for growing human brain cells that could do a lot in the areas of research around helping dementia patients and people with mental illness and neurological disorders and just things like that that I guess in the past, some of it's just medical research, but some of it also requires technology to get down to that sort of scale in the medical industry. So I reckon that might be a big breakthrough area potentially for 2016. But personally, in terms of what's coming, obviously the baby is the biggest thing, like I said, on our radar for this year. It's not tech-related. Babies are fairly low-tech. They eat and sleep and poop in some ways, but in other ways, they're amazing creations, which are a unique mix of two people, the parents. So pretty excited to see what happens in that area. We don't know what gender it's going to be and all that kind of thing. So my wife wanted the surprise, and we ended up going with that after we... I got some advice from the Rugged Marriage guys on whether we should find out the gender or not and how we should resolve that discussion. So I've ended up, we're going with my wife's preference to not find out. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things there. But, yeah, I guess what I'll be doing is marveling at God's new creation of a brand new baby and at the same time trying to steward my role as a father as best I possibly can. I've also taken up Tanner's recommendation from Reform Podcast. I'm going to be reading Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. So
nice.
Looking forward to what this year has in store.
I was afraid you were going to go more into babies pooping because we've heard so much on this podcast.
That's Derek's area of expertise.
We've heard so much on that topic on this podcast. I cannot speak today. We've heard so much about poop on this podcast that it might as well be called Poop Reformation.
I don't know if we want to reform that.
So I don't know what I'm most looking for technology next year. I couldn't think of anything clever that isn't already obvious, like drones or cars or whatnot. So I'm going to give up on that one and just go with what I'll be doing next year. I don't even know if Craig or Derek know this, but my wife and I have been working on applying to be overseas missionaries. And we should find out in about 2 weeks if we get accepted. And if so, July, we will leave for training. And then a few months after that, we'll be in a different country. So if we're lucky, then... Well, not lucky. That was a terrible word. But if everything goes according to what we think it'll go, we'll be in a different country by the end of this year. So that's exciting.
That's awesome. Do you know what country?
No, if we get accepted at this level, we'll go to like a job fair in March, and that's where we'll pick the country. And if we get accepted there, then we will know which country we're going to. That's like the final step in the sure. process.
Yep.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't top that. This year, we're just moving out of our house, hopefully further into the city. Okay. And then I don't know. We might have some kids. I don't know. I'm scared to have kids still, but
it's pretty early for you guys. Hey, it's you haven't been married a year yet, which there's no rules about it.
No, there aren't. We're okay with having a little bit more time together. That's totally fine. I think that's kind of the path we're both on. But you know what? The Lord's sovereign even over the womb. And so if he wants to give us kids, he will. And we will love them. Man, we will love them. It's going to be awesome. And that's a wrap on Theology from the Headlines.
Without theology this week. For the most part.
No, we did a lot of theology.
Did we?
We did orthopraxy theology, not orthodoxy. That's okay.
All right.
Okay, let's move into recos. Do you guys have any recos this week?
I do. I am going to reco something I haven't used yet, but that's because I know how awesome it will be, and I'm about to start using it. I'm going to be commuting for at least an hour and 15 minutes each way this year. So I'm going to have a lot of podcasting listening time. So what I've done is I've noticed an app that I've never seen before. I think it's called Sermon of the Day by Desiring God. And it's basically, I think, mainly John Piper, maybe exclusively even John Piper messages, but it gives you a different one every day. And obviously, I'm pretty keen on Piper's teaching, so I think the content should be great. The app looks really nice. It's presented really well. Design is good, very minimalist. So yeah, I think I'll be doing that to hopefully be learning while I'm driving so that I'm not just sort of thinking about work all the way in and out from work. So yeah, looking forward to using that as another way to spend my time in the car this year.
And if it wasn't clear from the beginning of the show this week, you should go play Settlers of Catan. But that's actually not my recommendation. My recommendation this week is three bands, and it's one recommendation because these are all the bands that used to play at Mars Hill Church in Seattle, the big church that shut down because of all the Mark Driscoll controversy and things. I don't want to get into that. I just want to say they make awesome music, and I just discovered them recently. Thanks to Reform Pubcast, I heard about King's Kaleidoscope a while ago. And this week, for whatever reason, I had this idea, you know, hey, I knew they played at Mars Hill. Maybe the other bands are still making music. Maybe they're out there. And they are, and they make awesome music. And they are named Citizens and Saints and Ghost Ship. So all three of those, King's Kaleidoscope, Citizens and Saints, and Ghost Ship. I've been checking them out, downloaded all their albums from years past, and they're great. So I would recommend them heartily.
And if you'd like to contact us, get in our Slack. Go to slack.techreformation.com, and you can join by just putting in your email.
And it's so simple, a monkey could do it.
It's true. I don't think we have any monkeys on there yet, but you could be the first. You can also follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation. And you could also check out our website, techreformation.com.
And if we said anything that offended you, as per usual, email us at ask@techreformation.com. Keep those emails coming, y'all. And don't forget to review us on iTunes, recommend us on Overcast. And if you like this music you're listening to, it's by Matthew Parker, and we are so thankful to him. You can check out his stuff in the show notes. This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Derek, you have to cut all this part of us doing administrative talk out, of course. I really thought you guys would laugh at that, but no one thought it was funny.
Sorry.
Okay. Usually if I don't get laughs the first time, I can at least make a joke about how unfunny I am and then get a laugh.
I'm just glad Derek's still editing.
You say that?
I say that if a comedian ever wants, like the cheapest laugh a comedian can get is, say, tough crowd. Because the people will laugh for it. It's like, if he just needs a cheap laugh, he'll say that.
And then you thank him for the pity laugh, and that gets you two laughs. It works every time, no joke.
Mm-hmm. Are you a comedian, Ben? Are you a closet comedian?
No, come on.
What?
My parents always told me that I could do stand-up.
Oh, there you go. You should try it sometime.
I just changed Tech Reformation to Ben Stand-Up.
Comedy Reformation.
No, Ben Stand-Up Formation. That sounds good.